Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Art. My name is Oblivion Substantial, and today I'll be discussing three artists from the 20th century. Purcell Dutchcap, Manfish, and Francisco Labia. These three immense giants of modern art and key figures in the history of modernism, whose pioneering ideas about art continue to stimulate and reverberate to this very day. These three artists have usually been looked at in isolation or in the context of pretentious nonsense. However, I will focus on the affinities and parallels between their works, showing how they derived support with the aid of a large truss and several fit bodybuilders. Dutchcap and Labia first met in a bicycle shed in Paris in 1922, where they both explored avant-garde styles using toothpaste and found detritus from a local knacker's yard. Both shared the same dressing gown and anarchic attitudes towards life, art, and dental hygiene, and quickly became friends of a dentist by the name of Ruben. Both Dutchcap and Labia, as well as Ruben, went to New York in 1926, where they soon ditched Ruben for a hot meal. It was in New York where they first got to know Manfish, who at the time was searching for his front door keys and alternative ways of expressing himself in shop windows. Together, all three men helped to create the Bader movement in New York, and later Scunthorpe and Paris. Dutchcap soon abandoned painting and focused instead on large amounts of alcohol and ideas in unconventional media such as cheese and facial hair. For many years, he was thought to have given up art entirely to play competitive topless Scrabble and bake bread. Labia, by contrast, remained a painter most of his life, except on bank holidays. Manfish often made objects out of string and undercooked pasta, and became famous for a soup recipe made from porridge and sparrows, yet continued to take photographs of disused toilets and old people line dancing. Although these three great artists followed their own garden paths, and often getting very drunk indeed, they each enjoyed a special affinity, as well as bad breath and B.O. At the heart of their relationship lay the close friendships that Dutchcap forged with a local forger from Naples called Perry LaForge Tappy. All three men frequently socialized together, often discussing the weather and ideas about the weather, and collaborated on artworks involving unusual footwear as well as the weather. They also responded freely to one another's aftershave, plus an interest in rude jokes and premature baldness. That they were able to do this suggests that together they had mapped a common intellectual territory, sharing an approach that questioned the nature of art, which in turn fueled their alcoholic tendencies and a passion for deep-fried food and burnt chips. Labia enjoyed early success in Belgium as an impressionist limbo dancer, though some suspect he copied his routine from a Dame Slappy Jones, a cleaner originally from Grimsby, with long mottled legs. But in 1914 to 1915, he rejected his breakfast and began eating small bits of canvas with more contemporary styles that included juggling with tins of corned beef. Like Labia, Dutchcap was a pervert and very charming when half naked, but with a beguiling serenity which contrasted with Labia's orange flared trousers. Although quite different from one side and temperament, the two men often shared a bath together and a similar approach to life. Labia's first wife said, "They displayed an extraordinary adherence to housework and paradoxical, destructive principles in their blasphemies and choice of shirts, which were directed not only against the old myths of art, but against all the foundations of their first flattered niece and life in general. Dutch Cap's twin sisters were both leading figures in the scribbling movement and sandwich reconstruction, and Dutch Cap and Labia were often arrested in ladies' changing rooms, which they blamed on the pressure to conform to a group style. In New York, Manfish learned the art of yoga and about the latest trends in European art, and was also very keen to have longer lunch breaks and make pastry. Even before he met Dutch Cap or Labia, he was playing with himself, along with unconventional elements of art made from string and undercooked pasta.
The challenge on how to represent three-dimensional movements.
The challenge on how to represent three-dimensional movements baffled all three artists in the afternoon, just before supper, whilst Scribblism set out to depict an object being viewed from another room, whilst wearing a blindfold and facing a wall. Dutch Cap, in response, sought to represent all subjects and their availability in freefall. His banana falling down a lift shaft number 13 created an uproar when exhibited outside a cake shop in New York in 1917. This was partly because no one had previously thought that a banana doing something as prosaic as falling down a lift shaft outside a cake shop could be art. Dutch Cap also embraced the physical alongside the emotional and social stupidity with references to drunkenness. He continued, half drunk, to make several more works on the theme of complete stupidity from seed to banana, hops, and feeling sick. Labia's idea of motion focused on the flux of sensation and a good clear-out after consuming several spicy meatballs as physical movement with plenty of soft lavatory paper. Both he and Dutch Cap relished the sheer dynamism of New York and responded to it with an extended hangover. Manfish had a large member and also belonged to the same artistic drinking circles as Dutch Cap and Labia, and soon began to absorb a new face cleanser and a fascination for silly haircuts and pints of cloudy wine. The challenge was always for him to stay sober long enough to find ways of relating the subject of art to the process through which it was thrown up. His painting, The Lap Dancer Plays With Herself With Another Hand in the Shadows, number 6, was inspired by the sight of a woman dressed in a black donkey jacket with see-through satin tights. Many avant-garde artists in the 1920s found heavy drinking aesthetically appealing and showed their enthusiasm for modernity by using streamlined beer bottles and double brandies in their work. However, Dutch Cap and Labia were among the first to recognize alcoholic spirits as a powerful icon to a new modern age. It flashed on me that the genius of the modern world is drink. Labia once remarked, drunk in a gutter outside a betting shop in 1924. Uniquely, they used empty beer cans as metaphors for human activity and blurred states of mind. Dutch Cap also saw in beer cans and whiskey bottles as a means of developing a deliberately obnoxious and anti-aesthetic style. Labia, by contrast, was well on the way to developing cirrhosis of the liver and often appropriated industrial bottle designs, whilst scandalizing those who felt art should be drawn from more elevated sources. all three artists exploited the possibilities offered by strong alcohol to make esoteric sexual jokes that escaped even themselves. All three artists were happy when drunk and often acted out enigmatic dance routines, standing on one leg in front of complete strangers when half naked, and often helped themselves to more drink that typically involved humour, bad breath, and provocation in equal half measures. Dutch Cat developed a tic and a female alter ego named Brenda Bad Thighs. In part, it was to undermine the idea that any work should be created by a single, unchanging individual. Manfish often photographed his best friend taking a shower when dressed in ladies' underwear and water-resistant makeup in a series of memorably camp images. The joke involved a cerebral Dutch cat expressing himself after having a drink or 10 when dressed up as a woman, but a woman that was sexually available in a small mail-order catalogue next to the bathroom accessories. She signed more artworks and restaurant bills than Dutch Cap himself ever did in the interwar years. Labia also toyed with the idea of a female alter ego. Mabel Lavive, the dirty strumpet with a lisp, was a photograph of a ginger cat sitting on Labia's face as he casually reclined on the back of a stolen car by Manfish. The title also referred to being half sober, which one didn't realise at the time, to Dutch Cap's object, the stale carpet. It was also the first work signed by Brenda Bad Thighs. Manfish was closely involved with a short-sighted lap dancer from Amsterdam, masquerading as a taxi driver who would occasionally step in front of passing traffic after drinking strong homemade wine. Manfish made several studied portraits of his lover as he assumed various identities, both as a taxi driver and as a heavy goods construction worker called Hines. Dutch Cap's innovative use of stale air as a medium, particularly in his major composition, The Man Lets One Off Even, was a complex piece that married spoof physics with a saga of flatulence and a sexual attraction to bad odours. Dutch Cap used stale air so that the imagery seemed transient in space and time. He called it bout of wind. As some areas of the works were often very smelly, Dutch Cap would incorporate whatever was behind it. The object is literally a window into the bottom, but in this case, the bottom of the viewer and not the artist. Dutch Cap's friends were fully aware of the formal and conceptual novelty of his work. The Man Lets Off Even was influenced by a range of strong drinks in different combinations. Transparency and opacity, as well as steamed organic vegetables, became major themes in the work of both Labia and Manfish. The latter's experiments with broccoli and airbrushed parsley indicated a sympathetic response to the transparency and transient finish of The Man Lets Off Even, whilst his clever use of stale steam to make Up in Smoke suggests a parallel to Dutch Cap's work. Dutch Cap, often by mistake, set fire to himself as he challenged artworks that were not considered art. During the process, he often changed his vest and socks several times a day, along with any traditional understanding of what he thought constituted modern art. He selected a small number of manufactured sausages, or ready-to-eat objects, that had no particular aesthetic merit and gave them the features of a work of art. A title, a named eater, a sell-by date, and a viewing public landlord-owner. The rejection of his pork banger, an everyday sausage placed upright on a plinth from an exhibition in 1921, and the ensuring right of an artist to designate something manufactured and ready to eat, was a turning point in the history of sausages and modernism. Towards the end of his life, Dutch Cap said, "I'm not all there, you know, but I'm sure that the idea of the ready-made sausage isn't the most important concept to come out of my fridge." Rather than ready-made sausages, Manfish produced what he called objects I walk into when tight. Like Dutch Cap, he often used titles to add yet another layer of meaning. Works such as Make Mine a Double and Beer Crate with Empties are among the most famous pieces of the interwar years. Manfish also used his neighbour's camera as a doorstop and to record everyday or ephemeral items that caught his eye, which more often than not left a nasty bruise. Here the artwork was the photograph, but not the bruise itself. All three artists were interested in cling film as a new product in which to keep their sandwiches fresh. Manfish helped Dutch Cap to make cheese and pickle, a short modest sandwich on white bread. As he consumed each sandwich in a spiral pattern, Manfish carefully photographed his unsteady movements. Shortly afterwards, Manfish began experimenting with new techniques that included yodeling into a handkerchief, standing on a bridge facing south. Having abandoned art to concentrate on playing competitive topless Scrabble in the 1920s, Dutch Cap had become fascinated by the idea of doing nothing before supper time. Sometimes helped by Manfish, he experimented with photographs taken down the front of a friend's trousers, along with a number of devices to prevent him from getting hit in the process. Labia was equally interested in doing very little before supper time, and the challenge of placing a camera down a friend's trousers became an obsession. I have finally freed myself from the sticky medium of marmalade, and I am working directly with edible fabrics itself, Manfish wrote in 1925, announcing also his discovery of fleas in his bed. When Dutch Cap heard the news about the fleas, he congratulated him, then said he was glad it wasn't him. Labia was now producing grand paintings consisting of images borrowed from cookery books. There was no obvious rationale to Labia's selection of cakes and homemade soft-scented biscuits and preserves. Some considered this development a retrogressive step. Others thought he had returned to believe in great cooking, simple recipes, and good old-fashioned tart. In fact, he seems to have grown bored with modernism, finding it more challenging to increase his waistline with fast food and all its calories. At the same time, his heavy drinking mirrored the techniques of contemporary alcoholism and echoed some of the devices used by Manfish in his photographs of Dutch Cap being rude to a waiter. Dutch Cap felt Labia's need and thought his paintings were an innovative attempt to express how fat one can get on cake and alcohol without using too many props. Throughout their careers, all three artists, when drunk, made works that referred to sexuality and sexual encounters down darkened alleyways. For Dutch Cap, beer mats and soggy coasters were the basis of everything he'd done before breakfast, although no one talks about it. In his interwar works, Manfish used string and blanched pasta in latent sexual positions to create a distinctive type of erotic imagery. During last orders at a local bar in Paris, Labia surprised many of his supporters by drinking water. Good taste, and his surreptitious borrowing of people's money was characteristic of his work as a whole. Over a 15-year period, Dutch Cap worked in high heels on Give Us One, 1936 to 1956, an installation that was discovered by a friend after Dutch Cap left his apartment to buy some cigarettes. This particular piece startled those who thought Dutch Cap had given up creating art entirely before dinner, or was only interested in beer and silly ideas. But this major work was a culmination of Dutch Cap's views about the relationship of the sexes and his lifelong preoccupation with hemorrhoids, shaving, and free-range chicken. Towards the end of their lives, all reflected their position in a large mirror borrowed from a local barber. Labia grew even fatter and cynical about frozen ready-made dinners, but remained obsessed with painting tarts. He often said, "My paintings are good enough to eat." Dutch Cap was forever casual about the lack of attention he received in bars or darkened alleyways, and preferred instead to stay out of the limelight. In the 1960s, there was a revival of the Bader movement, and both Dutch Cap and Manfish became increasingly drunk and recognized once again as heavy drinkers and major bloated figures. Even so, Manfish felt a young lady's bottom, and felt that he'd never received the recognition he so deserved. Simplicity and cheap alcohol were their watchwords. Labia produced a lot more mucus with small green dots. These harked back to his earlier drinking bouts with prostitutes at the beginning of the 20th century. Manfish's ironic response to housework and to the rhetoric of contemporary art was to get loose whenever you could. Dutch Cap continued to get arrested on a regular basis and made very few new works. He was happy and content behind bars, saying how much he preferred prison food to supermarket chicken. During the end of his life, he was sometimes heard to say, "Each second, each belch is a work which is inscribed nowhere." And next time on Let's Talk Art, I will be discussing surrealism whilst I slowly submerge a baby elephant in goose fat. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.